Welcome to Take the Lead. The content you're about to hear is from one of our Boca Lead events. Boca Lead is a monthly business luncheon hosted at Boca Raton Community Church and taught by Pastor Bill Mitchell. Our desire is that the information you're about to hear will increase your leadership and also raise the bar of ethics and integrity within the business community. So take the handout, grab a pen, get ready to take some notes, and enjoy the video.
Well, today we're going to begin the year with something I'm going to talk about, and I've talked about this in the past, not this subject, but kind of the general subject is your word for the year. Have you picked a word for the year? Now, I've talked about it a couple months ago, my word for last year, and talked about it, but who has a word for the year? You don't have to shout it out, but do you have a word that you're trying to achieve? It can be either aspirational, I want to achieve it, or something that you're already doing and you want to continue to do, but I would encourage you to do that, to take a word, take a concept, and bring it and go, this is what I'd like to achieve, and then in December of next year, see how it went. January 1st, New Year's Day, we had our family assembled. All my children gave me their word for the year. My wife, myself, we all went through, and then we said, why? What do you want to achieve with that word? It's an incredible time to grow. I have five children, and we all did it, as well as Elizabeth and me. So it's a fun thing to do as well. Can I give you my word? Put it on the screen. It's the word Kindle. Now, not the e-reader. It's not capitalized. Kindle is something you do to light or set on fire, to inspire, to become impassioned, to move from the potential to the actual. I used to have a feeling that there were two types of people in the world. The motivated people, me, and the unmotivated people, the rest of the world. And my goal was to motivate the unmotivated people. I've since learned that is not true. Everyone is motivated. Non-decision is a motivation. Doing nothing is a motivation. We think doing nothing is not motivation. It is motivation. Everybody is motivated. So the question becomes, what are you motivating them to? Now, there's several types of motivation in business. One is self-motivation. I talk about that a lot, so I'm not going to talk about that today. There's motivating your staff. I talk a lot about that, too. I'm not going to talk about that today. What I'm going to talk about is motivating those people who are not in your ecosystem. Can I word it this way? Motivating people in your direction. How do you motivate people who are not in your ecosystem, not in your business cycle, and motivate them to come towards you? Can we do that? I think it'll be interesting to see. And then at the end, I may do a little self-motivation because I always get back to that anyway because I think it's important that we practice what we preach. But on your cards here, it says motivating people. I want you to write a word, two words down there before you get to number one, bad assumptions. Bad assumptions. These two things we're going to start with, it was just kind of left out when it was being printed. Bad assumptions. So the first bad assumption when you're trying to motivate people towards you is this, that people you are seeking to sell or serve or whatever your product is, I got nonprofits here, I have educators here, getting people to come to your school, getting people to donate or volunteer in your organization, whatever the word is that you are seeking people to do, the bad assumption is this, that they are well-informed, rational, independent thinkers, and long-term choice makers. That's a lot of words there, isn't it? But that is the wrong assumption. Let me give you an example. Have you ever got a spam or scam on your email to email back to some African prince some inheritance? Have you? Have you? Okay. Yes, you have. So have I. Have you ever read them before? I never click on it, by the way. Okay. You got to be well-informed enough not to click back, but you can read the email. When you read the email, the email is misspelled, and it's bad grammar, right? I mean, forget the whole you're going to make $20 million part, but it's bad grammar and misspelled. Now, you would think that these incredibly intelligent internet people who are trying to scam you could click Google grammar and Google spell check and get it right, right? They purposely don't. A study's been done. They purposely don't do it because they want you not to respond, because they're only going after the gullible and greedy. Now, you might be greedy, you well-informed, well-intentioned, long-term thinkers. You might be greedy and you go, hey, maybe this time it works, but you're not gullible. So you might click and go to the process, and then when they say, send us your bank account and send us your social security number, your gullibility quotient will go up, and you go, well, this is stupid. I'm not going to do that. And you click off. And they have now wasted time with you. They don't want you. So when you read that and you go, boy, this is misspelled. They don't even spell check. This did not come from a government official. This did not come from a prince. This obviously is a scam. They want you to do it immediately, delete it, and move on, because they're only going after the uninformed, the gullible, the greedy, trying to make a million for no reason. Do you see it? They're trying to motivate people towards a direction, but they're not trying to motivate the thing. So the people like you who are well-informed, but we think everybody is well-informed. I'm kind of joking on that, obviously. That's an extreme case. But understand that most people are not well-informed in what you do. You live all day doing what you do. And people like us who may want your service walk into your ecosystem and have no clue what you do, but you assume we know what you do. You have a language of your own. You have these huge five-syllable words you use of your own, and then you think everybody should know that. And you are not going to motivate people if you assume that they know what you know. So you need to bring people. It's not because they're stupider than you. It's just that they live in another ecosystem. That's assumption number one. Assumption number two is this, that everyone is like you. They know what you know, and they want what you want. That is a bad assumption, to assume that everybody wants what you want. They don't want what you want. So when you're motivating them towards you or towards your business or towards your product or towards, you've got to think through this. Those are assumptions. So now let's look at a very simple process to move people towards you. There's four things I'm going to share, and I'm only going to go into detail on one of them. We don't have time to do all four, so I'm going to share all four, which are quite obvious. I'm going to use a little word play so you can remember it, and then we'll go from there, and I'll come back to number two, and we're going to spend our time on number two. So first, the simple process, look. People need to look towards you. Why are they looking towards you? Just think of, you know, you're a realtor. They're looking to sell their home. You're an architect. They're looking to make an expansion on their building. You're a doctor. They're looking to get health care. You're a nonprofit. They're looking to volunteer. People are out there looking, just kind of looking to do things. They understand they have a need, and the need may be to get a product or a service. And you know what? There's more than you that can supply it. I got a bunch of schools in here. I'm going to give kudos to Florida Atlantic University, because I've got three tables represented here by Florida Atlantic University, and I happen to think it's a great school, by the way. I'm an alum of this school. But when people are looking to go to college, they got Lynn University, great institution. They got Nova Southeast down there. They've got Kaiser. They've got Everglades. They've got University of Florida if they want to go out of the area. They've got this. They've got that. They can go to FIU, University of Miami. They're looking for schools. Why would they come to your school? Why would they come to your architectural firm? Why are they giving money to your nonprofit? Why are they volunteering in your organization, et cetera, et cetera? So that's the first, the look. You've got to find people who are looking for what you do. and what you supply. I mean, so you've got to get out of your ecosystem, out of your little life you live in a business, and get out and find those who are looking. Number two, and this is huge, then you got to hook them. Look, hook. Now, this is easy. This is just single-syllable words, like the Nigerian prince. The question becomes, why you? Why do I go to FAU instead of Lynn? Or why do I go to Lynn instead of Nova Southeast? Why do I not do an online with one of the great online schools? Why you? Why do we want them to use us? Why use us? And this is what we're going to come back to, because there's some simple things you can do to create that. So I'm going to keep going and come back to this one, because if you cannot hook people into your ecosystem, you can't sell them, serve them, help them in any way, whatever you do to do that. So let's go to number three, book. See, it's simple. Look, hook, book. Book is your business. In fact, some of you talk about your book of business, and some some companies have a book of business. So I just put it at book. That's what you do, how much it costs, when do you do it, who on your team does it. This is your business. I can't help you with your business. Our goal here at Boca Elite is help you do it more ethically, with character, upstanding, win-win. When you give somebody a service and they pay you, that it's a fair dealing and all that. That's what we do here at Boca Elite, but we don't tell you how to run your business. I'm not going to tell the Boca Resort how to run their business. I'm not telling the College of Science over there how to be a scientist and how to educate scientists. I'm not telling them how to have a good religious organization or how to run a great nonprofit or good architectural firm. That's your business. That's your book of business, and that's where they purchase, in the case of a for-profit, the goods or the services you have. So you have the look, you have the hook, you have the book, and the fourth one is this, took. The goal, as you've always heard me say, is you want repeat business. Repeat business is the easiest thing to do. Whatever it costs you to get someone into your ecosystem, once they're in your ecosystem, it doesn't cost that much to keep them there. You want the reality that I'm an alum, I want my child to be an alum. I use that doctor, I want you to use that doctor. I do this, I'm going to repeat. Now, some things you don't repeat, I don't go back to college, but I have a big mouth that might help others know about that college or about that nonprofit or about, I may not build another house, but I might tell everybody about the house builder. Right? The repeat business may not be me repeating the business, but me as a satisfied customer helping others know about your ecosystem and what you do. Because why should I do it again? So if it is a repeat thing, why should I do it, or why should I tell others to do it? You've all heard this video went viral or that podcast went viral. What does that really mean? What that means is the person who did the video or the company who did the video or the podcast sends it out to their sphere of influence. That's a finite group. But this person sends it out to theirs. This person sends it out to theirs. Now it's going viral. The viral is not you sending out to your people and your sphere of influence. It's them sending it out to their center of influence. And then the second generation sent it out to their center of influence, and that's when it goes from the thousand to the million. It's not the person who did it that took it to the thousand to the million. It was all the people that said, wow, that's cool, I want to do that, or I did that, you should too, or this is a great video, or this is a great company. Do you see how that works? It's an amazing reality. Now let's go back to number two, and let's dig a little deeper in this. Quick example before we get to the first one is, well, the whole part I want to talk about is telling your story. Everybody talks to me and goes, oh, Bill, you tell great stories. I'm a storyteller at heart. I tell stories. Why? Because people engage in stories. You need to get the story of your business, your nonprofit, your whatever you do out. If you want to hook somebody, you got to hook them with a story, I believe. An example of this would be JetBlue. It's interesting. JetBlue came into the market, I don't know how many years ago, a dozen years ago or 20 years ago, whenever they did. And their goal was to be the hippest airline in America. Hippest. I don't know how you can be a hipster airline. But they play rock music, and the food they give you is different, and the seats are different, and they were the first ones to have Wi-Fi for free and all this stuff. JetBlue was competing against American, Delta, and United. Very unhip airlines, right? I mean, I fly American and Delta. It's like, okay, you can't get more. What's American's colors? Gray, right? Go figure that one out. It's just gray. I mean, it's unbelievable. Silver and gray. Okay, so they're the hippest. Now, Virgin Atlantic wants to open up Virgin America. Virgin America was not competing against Delta, United, and American because they wanted to be the hippest. They had to deal with JetBlue. Then Spirit came into the market, and they wanted to be the hippest. And they didn't have to deal with American, Delta, or United. They had to deal with Virgin America and JetBlue. Do you see this? And then Allegiant came into the market. Same thing. See, you got to know who your competition is. You got to know who some of us are fighting against American and United when it's really JetBlue that's taking our lunch away. Because we're looking at 20 years ago, and the reality is others are taking it. So you got to think now. And the way to do it is, I believe, in stories. So let me give you the first type. The story of self. And I don't mean selfishness, but your story. Why are you in this ecosystem? The personal stories. There's empathy, there's care, there's feeling, there's engaging, it's inspiring. Let me give you a quick example. Those of you who know me know I was in real estate for 25 years before I became a pastor in midlife. And a lot of my associates are over here, former associates and friends. And I moved from residential to commercial real estate very young, and I was doing commercial real estate. And in commercial real estate, there's so many variables. I mean, are you selling land? Are you selling buildings? What kind of buildings? Are you leasing them? Are you selling them? Are they triple net? And on and on and on. It's like, so I had a friend call me up because I was trying to get business into my ecosystem. And he said, I know a golf course for sale in Orlando. Okay. A golf course that wants to be sold. Private golf course that wants to be sold. And I go, great. I play golf. And I go, he goes, here's the number, and I'll call her so that she knows your name. So I'm thinking, how on earth am I going to get a listing on a golf course? In Orlando, and I'm in Boca Raton. So I just moved to Arvida Realty, large company that doesn't exist anymore, but they built a lot of golf courses. Their construction side and their home side built a lot of golf courses. Sawgrass, Boca West, Broken Sound, and about a dozen other ones. I don't even know all of them. So I thought, they built them. Now I'm trying to sell one. So I went over to the construction site. I said, do you have any pictures of those golf courses you built? And I found a brochure of Boca West, that long hole along Glades Road early in the morning. They took a helicopter before drones and took a picture of the sunrise and the birds and the egrets and the... It was unbelievable. Double truck, too. It was on both sides of the page. I took that with me and an empty legal pad, and I drove to Orlando. I knew some golf management people. I knew I could assemble a team, but how do I sell this lady on using us, me? So I went up there, introduced, looked at the golf course, and I opened up this, facing her, this brochure, beautiful picture, and all I said was, do you know how many golf courses Arvida has built in Florida? And she looked at me and she said, no, I don't. And I said, I don't either. And I got the listing. Because I sold a story that my company knows golf, even though I personally may not be, I can assemble the team. And I assembled the team, and we sold the golf course. And it was the first time I had sold a golf course. But It was because I told a story, and as simple as that story was, some stories take 20 minutes to share. Some stories is a photograph, and you just lay it out. Now, that's because I'm a salesman, and I love doing those kind of things. But the reality is you have to tell the story of why they should use you in whatever they need to do. Number two, the story of us, the customers, the clients, connections with your company and others. You need to tell other people's stories. Now, how many of you know AA? Raise your hand. AA. Hello? Does anybody know AA here? Raise your hand. How many of you, keep your hands up, how many of you know someone who's gone through AA? Okay, so there's 200 people that, do you know what the name of AA is? Alcoholics Anonymous. We're not supposed to know these people. Right? You're not supposed to know that they went through it. But we all know people who have gone through it. Why? Because they want to tell the story of how AA changed their life. Even when they're told, don't tell anybody that Tuesday night you're at, you know, St. Gregory's at 7 o'clock. Don't tell anybody you're Wednesday at Boca Community. Don't tell anybody. But we do. Why? Because we're so excited of what this did for us, that others are telling the story. And it's amazing. We have a friend here at church who went through AA. He just moved up north Florida. And every Sunday he would say to us and to my wife Elizabeth, it's been 638 days. And then 7 days later, he added 7 days. I mean, he is so thankful for what this anonymous group did that he's not being anonymous. Now, if they can do it where they're told to be anonymous, shouldn't you find a few satisfied customers and get their story out? I mean, it's kind of simple. People connect with stories that connect them with what you do. I got probably 30 attorneys in here. Why should someone use this law firm versus that law firm versus that law firm? It's going to be because of stories. The reality is, if you just say, we did this, or we, you know, statistics are great, but you got to have stories behind them. Something very important. Last night, Elizabeth came home. She's involved in a women's group, about 80 women. And I said, how did it go? First time back after break. They take December off. First Wednesday night, it was incredible. They had about 80 or 100 people at it. And she didn't tell me there were 80 or 100 people. She didn't tell me, you know, there are 10 new people or whatever to this group that they kind of connect with, and there's all kind of connections. She told me Karen's story. Karen over here came and told her story about four kids, about fostering, and how people at our church were really into fostering. And she was sharing that, and she just didn't share the statistics of 1,500 kids have been fostered from what the work of this church has done, and 100 kids have been adopted. Those are great, but she shared stories. My wife didn't come home with statistics. She came home with stories. The two of us are crying in our living room at 8:30 last night, hearing the stories and how fostering is such an important thing in this city, because our foster kids are hidden behind the beauty of this town. And four kids has broken through that false veil, and they've shared the story. Do you see that? These are stories. So why should I volunteer? Why should I give my money to them? Because of the stories that they've done. Now, you have to do things to get stories, right? You got to do them. So you can't just share fake stories. They've got to be real. But it's important because they'll know pretty quickly. Finally, the third one. You got to share stories of now. Not that over the last 10 years this, or I did that, you know, 5 years ago. As John Maxwell said, if you're still excited about 5 years ago, you're not growing. What about now? I'll give you two quick ones. Dunkin' Donuts. So I go to the Dunkin' Donuts on Camino and Federal there, just north side there. And in the mornings, not a big coffee drinker, but when I go in, I get a coffee, an iced coffee. And this is what they have all been trained. Now, only one person in that room is English first language. Only one employee that I've ever seen is English first language. They're all English second language, so they need to do this. So they give you your money back, and they say, thank you, see you tomorrow morning. Now, is that a story of now? See you tomorrow morning. That is an amazing way of telling your story about engaging you into my ecosystem. How does Starbucks do it? They do it a totally different way, but as effective. Their baristas are trained to know what you order every morning. Oh, do you want that latte with the extra shot of espresso? Do you want your coffee black again? Do you want your, and you know, and you go, wow, they know me. They want me to come back because they even know what I order. You see how close that is and how important that is? You need to hook people into your ecosystem. And I think if you just do statistics and get into stories, move past that. Now, can I close with a story? So I'll share a story, right? I love stories. I love stories about yourself. I love story about connection. I love stories about the now. But let me share a story, and since we were talking about coffee, I'm going to do a story on coffee. By the way, whose birthday is today? We have 400 people in here, so there's got to be at least one person with a birthday. Anybody? Birthday today? Because I want to give you something. No one? How about this week? Okay, good. I have four $10 gift certificates to Main Coffee, the newest coffee shop in Boca. If you're up here, Ruth will be next to me. She's got the card. So the first four who can prove that this week is your birthday, you get a $10 coffee. And nowadays, $10, what does that buy? One coffee? I don't even know. So it says Maine on it. They're up on Spanish River Boulevard. It's an elite coffee shop. Now, you have to understand, I never had a cup of coffee until 10 years ago. I never had a cup of coffee. I never drank coffee. It's not because I'm against coffee. I just never liked it. Occasionally, when you're in other countries, you have to socially drink a cup because they put it out and you can't snub people. So I'd had a sip of coffee two or three times, but never a cup of coffee, ever. And so we went, our family went out to the northwest of the United States, which is coffee heaven, Portland, Seattle, Vancouver. And we have a cousin who owns one of the best coffee shops in the world, literally USA Today had rated it in the top 10 a couple years ago in North America. So he knows coffee. So we went to Portland to go to a wedding of a friend who happens to be here, and we're there, and our cousin says, let's go on a coffee crawl. Coffee crawl. Now, I've never had a cup of coffee. We're going on a coffee crawl. He says, I go, what's a coffee crawl? He goes, I'm going to take you to the three or four best coffee shops in Portland. I'm going to order four or five drinks, and we're going to drink them just to test them and taste them. And I go, I don't know what a macchiato from an Americano from a, I don't know. So I go, and my wife says, don't do it. And I do it. Now, when I see he's paid $4.50 times five, I figure, you know, I'm kind of economy-minded. I drink them. So I'm drinking these triple espressos and all. Then we go to the next one, and he goes, oh, this macchiato with three espresso shots is better than theirs. I go, oh, really? And so I'm drinking it. I don't get it. What I did get, though, is my body shut down. Literally. From here up, I had this massive headache that I've never had before or since. And from here down, it just shut down. It was just unbelievable. I had a wedding to go to the next day. So I'm in bed, and they're out picking strawberries and blueberries and having great dinners. And I get out of bed. I go to the wedding. It's fantastic, you know, on a river and on a hill. It was fantastic in Portland, outside of Portland and Salem. And then we're heading the next week up to Vancouver, where my cousin has the coffee shop. I'm like, oh, great. I hate coffee. Now I drink it now. I've kind of, like a little kid, learning to like coffee. This is what happened. When we get there, this is hilarious. He goes, he hands me a card, like the card you're going to get, but it was a debit card. He goes, you can buy anything you want the whole week in my coffee shop. I thought, boy, this is fantastic, but I don't drink coffee. So the first day I get there, I buy an orange juice, and I get some of his croissants, and he has this baker that's to die for. And so I buy all those things, and debit card, didn't have to pay. And everybody's looking at me in one of the best coffee shops in the world, and I have an orange juice in my hand. And I felt the pressure. So the next day, I went to the barista, and I said, can you put my orange juice in a coffee cup? And she said, of course. So I'm drinking out of the coffee cup, having my little Eggs Benedict, and everybody else is drinking all their triple macchiato espressos or whatever they were, and I'm having the time of my life, and everybody's enjoying it. We're having this on the next day, same thing. We went in the afternoons. Can I have my orange juice in the cup? And so here's the point. Everybody was drinking coffee but me. I look like a coffee drinker. I acted like a coffee drinker. I was in the place you drink coffee. But I had no motivation to drink coffee. I was drinking orange juice. I was an imposter of the worst kind. You don't know, and this is about you now, not about the people you want to bring directing to you. The question I have to you is, you're in a room where everybody wants to do business better. Everybody wants to make Boca better. Everybody wants to live in integrity. Everybody talks about, let's develop win-win. Let's be generous. Let's give to these nonprofits that are sitting here. And we're all holding up our, and I don't know what's in your cup, because we can hide it. And my question to you is, do you have the real thing in it? Or are you faking it? And I don't think it's right to fake it. But I think you need to put the real thing in your life. And if we do that, we will make Boca Raton and South Florida the best place to work, to live, to play, and I believe to worship. I believe there's a sense of the Almighty and our relationship to Him that is a part of this that makes us who we are. And I ask you, as we start the new year, to think through these things. Thank you.
We trust you enjoyed Pastor Bill's teaching. Our goal is that you take this content and apply it in your business and also your personal life. Visit BocaLead.com for all of our past material and register for our next business lunch. Have a great time and discussion, and take the lead.